I said we're going to be thinking a little bit about that this morning. As we do, I want us to consider what the core purpose of the church is. What is the core purpose of the church? If someone came to you and asked, why do you go to church? What do you do there? What is the church all about? What would you say? You can think about it. You don't have to shout it out. That's okay. Somebody was shouting out. Well, strength or faith. Do what others do believe. Okay, good. We're getting responses. We'll go with this, okay? Central purpose of the church, the central calling of the church. All those things are good, certainly valid, important things. Oftentimes we might say, you know, something like to do good, right? To do good works in the community. Over that question, the church and churches are known for to do good, do good works. Is there something more to it than that? Hopefully there is. There's lots of good organizations that already do that. You can join the Lions if you want to make a positive difference for the community. They do good and important work, right? Something more to the church than just doing good. We might say, you know, the core purpose of the church is to love. Right? After all, that's what Jesus gave us, the two greatest commandments. Love God and love each other. Love, show love, be loved. We might look to the end of Matthew that we talked about a couple weeks ago in connection with baptism, where Jesus called his disciples together before he ascended back to the Father. And what did he task them to do? To go into all the world and preach the good news, baptize, to make what? Make disciples. Right? That's where we get our mission statement in Trinity on the front of your bulletin there. Right? We can read it together. Just remind yourself that you know it. We can read it together. Find it on the very front of your bulletin. Trinity, we are growing committed followers of Jesus by trusting God, believing His grace, obeying His word, obeying others. We derive our purpose in that mission statement, that commission. Go and make disciples, but how do we do that? What does that practically mean? What does that practically look like? Is teaching and baptism certainly? I would suggest a key part that we sometimes forget about is forgiveness. Church is meant to be givers, proclaimers of forgiveness. After all, we heard just a few minutes ago with Paul in 1 Corinthians saying that Jews are looking for signs, Greeks are looking for wisdom, and we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. The simple message of the church is Jesus Christ crucified. The simple message of the church is forgiveness. Right? That's what it means, Jesus crucified. So what does that look like? How does that mean? How does that work? What does that mean for our lives together? I wanted to look at together a little bit here to John chapter 20. We read that together in that call and response from the catechism. And I wanted to look at it a little bit more in depth this morning. You have your Pew Bibles there. Your own Bibles, that's good. If you want to open your Pew Bibles at page 937. Six, actually. I'll read these verses. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. We'll unpack this a little bit this morning. It says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, so for context, this is Easter Sunday, the evening of Easter, the evening of the day that Jesus rose from the dead. On the evening of that first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness to any, it is with God." See, John's condition, sending the disciples out. He breathes on them, he gives them the Holy Spirit. He says, "Go, as the Father has sent me, as the Father has sent Jesus, the Son, so Jesus is sending them. So Jesus is sending us out into the world. With the power, with the authority of the Almighty God. Jesus is sending us. Jesus has sent the church out. The power, the authority of the Almighty God. Sometimes forget that. We're sent out not under our own banner. You know, we don't go out just as a member of Trinity, you know, of this church, but we go out in the power and the authority of the God who made heaven and earth, the creator of the world, of all that is. We go out in his power and his authority. And it's under that power and that authority that Jesus sent his disciples out and by correlation sends us out to do what? To make disciples. And John says specifically how we do that by proclaiming the forgiveness of sin. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness of sin, it is withheld. This is what Jesus sent his disciples out to do. This is what he is sending the church out to do. Us, you and me, out to do. You might think, but how? I'm just John Mark. I'm just Ian. I'm just me. But how? How does this work? And I know that's a hang-up that we sometimes have. Sometimes in our confession and forgiveness, one of the lines that we use after hearing and corporately confessing our sin at the end, they'll say that I, as a called and ordained servant of the Church of Christ and by his authority, forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not often use that one. That's the typical Lutheran liturgy there. Derived from this. And sometimes we have pain up with that. I'm not Jesus. How can I have the power of the audacity to forgive sin? I'm just me. See, it's not just me. It's not just you who forgive sin. But who alone has the power to forgive sin? Jesus himself, right through the power of the cross and his death, his resurrection. There is forgiveness, there's hope, and there's life. So often we need to be reminded about that. I said last week, that's one of the reasons why we come and do forgiveness each and every week. Now, it's not so that we can drag up old things or try to invent reasons why we need to be forgiven. But given the chance, we shouldn't be big to be able to be free. Right, but it's not that. It's so that we can be reminded that we have been forgiven by Jesus. That we have been forgiven. We're called to walk in the newness of life and the power of his Holy Spirit. We do that, we receive that forgiveness. Not because I said this or anyone else said this, but because of Jesus. Jesus said, "Give this to me." Imagine with me that you are in prison. Hopefully you don't feel out there right now. But imagine with me you are in prison. It doesn't matter for what. You can imagine you should go wild. And you are in prison. You're sitting there in jail waiting for your sentence, waiting for the judge to hear all of the evidence, the facts of your trial, waiting for the judge to deliver a sentence of guilty or not guilty. The judge reviews all of that, and lucky for you, he says, you are innocent. You are not guilty. The judge has pronounced you not guilty. He or she has found you innocent of all charges. And yet, until they said the sheriff or bailiff or whoever over to the jail to let you out, you're not really actually free, are you? Functionally, you're still in jail until that bailiff, until that police officer comes, opens the cell door, says you're free to go, and lets you go walking. Wasn't that bailiff, that sheriff, that decided you would be free? He was simply the messenger, carrying from what the judge said. The judge has found you not guilty, so I am setting you free on his behalf, on her behalf. I'm setting you free. You're free to go. We believe you're free. Functionally, you're not, so the door is open. You're walking around back to your family. But imagine with me a similar situation again. The judge has just declared you're not guilty, you're innocent, you're free to go. He sent somebody over to let you out of the jail. And that person decides, well, the judge says you're free to go, but I'm not going to let you out. Hopefully there's some checks and balances in that. Legally, you're free. Functionally, again, you're still not free. You're still in prison. You're still in jail. What would have happened if the judge found you guilty? The bailiff said, well, you know, you're supposed to stay in here, but I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to let you go. Open the door and you're off free. You're living like you're free, right? But legally, you're not, are you? As soon as the mountain sign you, they're going to pick you up and bring you back from jail. Because your verdict is still guilty. You're still guilty in the eyes of the law, even though you're living like you're free. See, as we offer forgiveness to one another, that's the role of each of us. All Christians can hear the confession and offer forgiveness to each other. As we hear that confession, as we offer those words of forgiveness and pardon, they're not our words. It's not our words, it's not us deciding if you're free to go. It's the words of the judge. It's the words of Jesus himself. You see, in confession and forgiveness, it's delivering the work of Jesus. Delivering the message of forgiveness, the message of hope to us. Hearing again that verdict of not guilty, you are free. Sometimes we live in those other situations. We live like we're above the law. We live like it doesn't matter my legal status. I'm going to do whatever I want, whatever I please. We decide to be free, even though we legally we probably aren't because of what we've done, what we've said. See, forgiveness, confession and forgiveness, it's not a free pass, however, to do whatever we please, to wrong others, to hurt others, to seek our own gain or advantage. Forgiveness is meant as a process of restoration, a relationship with God being restored, and a relationship with each other being restored, being made with. I think that's where so many people are at in the world today. Functionally, they're living free, they're out of jail, they're living how they want, however they please. Even though the weight of the condemnation of their sin, of what they've done, of their choices, of their actions, of rejecting the free gift of God is still theirs to bear. The legal consequences are there for them to bear, but they're living like it doesn't matter, like we don't care. I'm going to live how I want to and hope that I don't get caught.
we proclaim forgiveness in a world like that?
In a world that doesn't need a not guilty verdict.
A world that says, I can live and do whatever I please, whatever I want. This church is called to be proclaimers of forgiveness. Even the people that don't realize we need forgiveness.
But for others, especially those that take part in the church, we believe, we know we're set free. We know that Jesus has died for us. He's paid for our sin, that we're forgiven. But we live like we're still in prison. We live like we're waiting for someone still to open that cell door to let us go free. We live with that weight, that shame, that condemnation of what we've done, of what we should have done, the things we've said or should have said. We believe we know we're forgiven, we're set free, but our minds don't reflect that. We live like we're still in prison. Unforgiveness. She's here. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to set us free. Declares to each of us, to you and to me, that we are forgiven, that we are free. Doesn't mean that we live again without consequence. We can do whatever we please and not care. It's an invitation to live at peace, the words that Jesus proclaimed to his disciples in that upper room, to live at peace, to live in freedom. Proclaiming the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. That's what we do in confession and forgiveness. We remind ourselves that, yeah, we need forgiveness. Yes, we've messed up. But that the judge, our God, has declared us not guilty, not because we deserve it, not because we get time off or good behavior or anything like that. But God declares us not guilty. It's a love that he has for us. Because of Jesus going to that cross, dying for us, making our way, our lives right again with God. Compassion and forgiveness calls us to live with you. To proclaim the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. To proclaim that to those around us. We've been set free by Jesus. Continue this morning in prayer before we come before our God in confession.